Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be together, isn't it? To remember the Lord together, it's just like wonderful. Well, for some time now, I've had a simple, single word on my heart. And that word is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Given the amount of time I've had that on my heart, I haven't been too faithful. But the real thought in faithfulness is God is faithful, completely faithful. And I believe He would have us display that character of faithfulness, that He would be after a people of faithfulness, that faithfulness is part of the testimony of Christ, of who He is. Who the Lord is. So there's just several verses. I'll read these verses, and if you get these verses, you got the message. So if you pay attention early, you'll get it. In the first two verses, the principle that God is faithful. Are you prepared to put them up? Lamentations 3. 22 and 23. I'll read them from the overhead instead of. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Second verse is Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He judges and wages war. Great is Thy faithfulness, and God is faithful and true. Second piece of the thought is His desire is that we be faithful. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Luke 18:8. So we're saying this God has a desire to see faithfulness in His people. I tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? And of course, living faith in God expresses itself in faithfulness. And then the third set of scriptures says, what is the fruit of faithfulness? Revelation 17:14. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are the called and chosen and faithfulness. So we will be with Him. Faithful will be with Him. Matthew 25, 23. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." So let's just pray just a little bit. Lord, we thank You for just this time together this morning, just turning away unto You and remembering You. We thank You that You are our life, and we just give You praise. We pray now as we look at Your Word that You would grant grace, that we could see what You're after in this matter of faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Seems to me the number of places and number of ways that we see this word faithful in the Word, it's very important to the Lord. Of course, He's obviously interested in us being faithful to Him, but He's also interested in us testifying of Him. And I think that as we are His body, His testimony, His witness, we should be those expressing His character, expressing Christ. And I think that one way that we express His life is through faithfulness. Our God is faithful, and He is interested in us being faithful. James 2, 17 and 18 says this, "Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Is the works of our faith faithfulness? I believe it is. And I also believe, if we stop and think about it, we live in an environment, the day we live in, there is no value on faithfulness, none. And I just would encourage us not to be swayed, not to be overly influenced by the lack of faithfulness. Think of marriage. You know, I've heard lately on the news that one of these studies that less and less people are just saying, forget it. You know, no marriage. We're not going to get married. There's no need. We aren't making a commitment. That certainly is a lack of faithfulness in our society. And if we do get married, what happens? Any of those that are willing to get married, they think nothing of getting divorced. So that's part of the environment we live in. Another one is jobs. When some of us that been around for a few years have a few miles on us, we in getting a job, we thought when we were younger, it'd be great to get a place to work for the rest of our days. We would be willing to give ourselves to that, and we, of course, would receive something. Kenny Pittman has been there for 100 years at Dunbar Milby. Jerry worked 28 years in one place. I worked 27 or 28 years in one place. But anymore, nope. There's no faithfulness from the employers, and there's no faithfulness to the employees. The employees will go for $100. So let's not get influenced by it. You know, another thing that I haven't heard it here, but I hear it in the different places I am, there's no faithfulness and no commitment to the local assembly, the churches, if you will. Well, I've been looking for a church that really meets my need. And we evaluate the churches. If it doesn't meet my need, you know, I'm not going to go there. The assembly, the church, is to meet God's need. So let's not get overly influenced. And I just mention these things because I think we need our thinking adjusted and make sure we don't get off. So I got a few points. Let me mention these points as we go through this that I want to make. First one is, what do we mean by faithfulness? What do we mean by faithfulness? Number two, we want to again see that God's character and nature are very faithful. They're the substance and essence of faithful. Number three, He is looking for a people that express His character, His faithfulness. Number four, naturally speaking, we are not faithful. It's not in us. We need to come to the point where we deny our self-life, take up the cross, and follow Him faithfully. And I thought we'd, for a few minutes, talk about how we can apply faithfulness, the whole principle of faithfulness in our lives. And obviously, the last thing is, what is the end of being faithful? Well, define faithful. Greek word. I looked up the Greek word in a lot of sources, and I always get very frustrated trying to look up Greek words in lexicons and so forth because I never understand them. I never quite come through, and it always reminds me of why I'm an accountant. You'll find out that, except for Kenny, accountants and engineers, when did those lines of work? Because they took rhetoric at their first semester in college. Anybody know what rhetoric is? No, they don't. English. We just didn't do too well in English, so we went over to the business school or engineering school and said, you got anything else over there? What do you got over there? Anyway, shut up. I'll just read a couple definitions of these words that are used for faithful, faithfulness. Get it from Thayer's Greek lexicon. I could understand that a little bit. The first one, the word is P-I-S-T-I-S. The noun is pistis. You know, even if you can't pronounce these words, you can go on the internet now and they tell you how to pronounce them. They give you the verbal pronunciation, but I can't remember it, so. If I said that wrong, I'm sorry. But the noun, the first one, the noun says, among other things, conviction that God exists and is a creator and ruler of all things. This is Thayer. It also says a strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah. Faith, living faith. And the second thing he says in there is it's a character of one who can be relied on. Faith is a thing. Faith is a noun. And of course, if we move from being a noun, being a thing, we move over to the verb form, and that's pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S. And he says, among other things, he says, of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. I'll read that again. Those that are faithful, think of the business we're faithful in is the Lord's business, you know. Of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. William Barclay calls it the virtue of reliability. And Webster, the one I can maybe relate a little bit more to, he says, faithful is loyal, constant, staunch, steadfast, resolute, firm in adherence to whatever one owes allegiance. Faithful, loyal, constant, staunch, steadfast, resolute, firm in adherence to whatever he owes allegiance. So faithful is kind of like a word, if you have to define it, yeah, we know what faithful is, right? But anyway, reliable, faithful, consistent, constant. So I'd like to look now just at a second point. God's nature is faithful. And it's cover to cover faithful. The book is, but let's look at that Lamentations verse. You can find Lamentations because the title of that book is The Lamentations of Jeremiah. So it's right after Jeremiah. And if you, it's a Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Let me just read the context of this verse. The introduction in this key reference Bible says, Lamentations is the work of one who had a broken heart. If, as had been the traditional view, Jeremiah was the author, it serves as a supplement to his longer work, Book of Jeremiah. Certainly, the author was a witness to the destruction of Jerusalem and its aftermath in 586 B.C., and the book is largely comprised of elegies for Jerusalem. And so in the midst of that environment, being discouraged as Jeremiah must have been, what does the Lord have to say to him? You want to put it up, Amanda? The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So we consider faithfulness. We first consider faithfulness of the Lord. And I would encourage us all to stop and think about it. The situations I believe most of us are in are not great. They're probably not as dire as Jeremiah. But I believe many, many are in great trial. And what would the Lord say to us? Look off to Him. In the midst of that, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord. And we thank You. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Faithful to the end. Revelation 19:11. Why don't we put that one? Revelation 19:11, we'll put that up. The context of this verse, the section immediately preceding this in the New American Standard is called Marriage of the Lamb. And this is the first verse of a section called The Coming of Christ. So this is a great scene. This is a scene that we're all looking forward to. And what you think we'd say, what would be the description of the mighty warrior riding in on that great horse? Mighty God, powerful, victor, triumphant one. That's probably all in there, but the first thing that comes out is, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true. Above all, first, faithful and true. We just praise the Lord for His faithfulness. Where would we be without His faithfulness? He is faithful to Himself, to His purpose, and to His people. He is faithful. He will get what He's after. And He will get what He's after in us if we'll let Him. Okay, number three. If God is faithful in nature, in character, I believe He has a heart after a people for Himself to be His witnesses. And I believe that those His people would be those declaring His faithfulness in their lives. His faithfulness expressed in a people is very much a part of the testimony of who He is. And I believe faithfulness would build up. First, I'll encourage Him. It would build up one another. We would build up one another by being faithful, and it would be a testimony to the world, to the seen and the unseen, if we express faithfulness. Luke 18:8. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? We talked about faith earlier. Faith, living faith. Faith of God, faith in God, and that faith expressed, if I can take it a step further, is faithfulness. Our faith, our trust, our belief in God, the faithful one, will demonstrate, will bring out, will bear faithfulness in us. In Hebrews 11:6, this is the famous verse that, I can't remember why you put it down. Lord, help me. This is the hall of faith. All those that have gone before in faith. And in 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and it is a rewarder of those that seek Him. So Lord is looking for belief in Him. And that believing in Him, giving our lives to Him, might be result in expression of faithfulness. Next, just a little thought. What is the way to faithfulness in our lives? You know, naturally speaking, We just don't find ourselves as being faithful people. If we're faithful to anything, what are we faithful to? Naturally. We have no problem being faithful to ourselves. And, from what I understand, there's teaching even in the world and in the church that we need to be faithful to ourselves. And I don't want to belittle that. But we just have to be careful with how much we emphasize being faithful to ourselves. Because self-absorption and being caught up with our self-life is going to have a terrible end. We're going to come to despair. We're going to come to the end of ourselves. We can't build that self-life up enough to make it through. So, I just believe that, the way that we express His faithfulness is denying ourselves, taking up His cross, and following Him. Galatians 5:22, we mentioned the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. So as we deny our self-life, take up His cross, we make room for the Spirit of God to find expression, to find sway, find full sway in us, to be expressed. So what have we said? God is faithful. We in the world are not faithful, but it's God's desire that we as His people show forth His faithfulness. And we need to deny our self-life, take up the cross, and appropriate His life to show forth faithfulness. Okay, what about some applications? What are practical ways to exhibit faithfulness? The first way that, this could go on for a long time, but the first thing that came to mind was how do we accept enter into faithfulness, being faithful to God, being faithful to Him. Are we faithful to Him, His purpose, and His people? As I said before, we're taught to be faithful to ourselves, and we know that we quickly come to the end of our self-life. And we find that we are totally dissatisfied with our self-life. But when we put the Lord first and find His life preeminent, we are very satisfied. He's satisfied and we find full satisfaction. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then we will be satisfied and He'll be satisfied. Romans 12:1 says, I urge you therefore by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I think we've shared this before, but we're just reminded that that presenting is a one-time thing, but it's a daily thing. We need to be faithful to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Daily give ourselves to the Lord at the start of the day. Daily seek His face. A lot of this has come out in ministry lately. Daily seek His will for our lives. He will really give us that direction, and we really need to give ourselves to Him, to serve Him. Put Him first, and it's going to be okay. You know, I just can't get over that. Seek first the kingdom of God, and He will be our complete satisfaction. Second application. We need to daily to be faithful and give priority to our spouse and our children, our families. Now we know, I know some don't have families. You're blessed with not having a family. I didn't say that, but you're by yourself. And so most of these things apply. This may not. How do we put our spouses, our children, our families first? You know, we need to be faithful to bring them to before the Lord, to pray for them, to present them to the Lord. And, we just need to pay attention to them. We need to pay attention to our families and give them time. how easy it is. How easy it is not to do that. It was much easier when you're working long days and long hours. Maybe that's a little bit of an excuse, but even in the midst of that, even now, you know, Sharon and I don't have a daily job situation on us, but we need to make time to see each other, to talk to each other, and to find out where we are. And particularly your children, brothers and sisters, pay attention to your children. Be faithful to your family. Now, we all know that we can't make them be good Christians. You know, we've all been through it. We can't direct where they go, but we can sure love them and pay attention to them and find out where they are. And maybe a good anchor for all that is don't give up the family altar at whatever level you are. Don't give up the family altar. I think being together, opening the Word, praying is a great thing. So families, let's not forget our families. Third thing, are we faithful to one another? Are we faithful to the brothers and sisters? You know, we, in one sense, we've been born into a new family. We like to be with people just naturally. Most people like to be with others and social. But we as born-again ones in a particular spiritual family here really ought to be closer than even natural family. And we ought to just have our antennas up. We've been talking about this with the brothers on Sunday nights for a while. Well, the last time we're going to talk again. Just pastoral care. You know, we can't... There's none of us can look after everyone, but we ought to have our antennas up. There ought to be somebody that you're related to in Christ. There ought to be some relationships you have in Christ. Don't live by yourself. So I just encourage us all to be caring for one another, looking out for one another, and even if it's just a couple people we're related to, that's okay. But, you know, that'll satisfy the Lord. It'll help one another. And you know what it really does when we're looking out for someone else? It gets us out of ourselves. You know, we become self-centered. But if we're thinking of somebody else, if we're looking out for someone, we don't have time to be self-centered. You know? Over the years, several different brothers have made this comment to me. My phone works both directions. Does that make sense? Nobody's called me. Nobody cares about me. Well, how are you doing today? Pick the phone up and talk to someone. Reach out to someone. It's a big cure for being isolated. Tell someone about your condition, your problems. But communicate. We need to look out for one another. Fourth thing I want to talk about, application for faithfulness, is the local assembly. I believe that, you know, we are all Christians. We're born again Christians, and by just being born again, we are part of the larger body of Christ. We just are. Church universal, if you will, the Catholic Church. That's what that means, universal. But anyway... But at the same time, God in His wisdom has seen fit to set His people in local assemblies. And He's put a priority on local assemblies. If you look at the New Testament, most of that, all the epistles were written to local gatherings, to issues in local assemblies. This whole concept is worked out through the local assemblies. And what is He after here? I believe He's after an expression of His character, of His very person, that is able to be expressed through all the members of His body, but to see it in practice locally in a local assembly. You know, I've heard a number of times over the last few years, it's not about meetings. And, you know, I really agree with that. It's not about meetings. It's about perspective. Is a meeting just something you go to because we have it on the calendar? Is it something that is in an organization that this is going to be this meeting? Better, is it an assembly? Is it a called out ones assembled? Is it the Lord constraining us to be together? I just believe the expression of Jesus Christ really comes into a level of fullness when we're gathered together. I don't know about you all, but I've felt this for a long time. When we get together like we did this morning, and we're each willing to open our hearts to the Lord together, I feel like we express Him way beyond the sum of the parts. I think there's a spiritual geometry. No. What's the math, Kenny? Exponential. It's exponential. How do we explain that? It really, and so the Lord's happy, the Lord's satisfied, and seeing His people together, we're built up. We encourage one another by being together. Our feet are washed. There's an expression of Christ. You know, we talked about long careers. I didn't have a huge long career, but I worked for a number of years for one company and controller, long days sometimes, pressure-packed days. And I could often have said, I'm exhausted. I'm wiped out. I can't go to prayer meeting. And I don't think there was ever a time when I came to prayer meeting feeling that way that I didn't leave totally refreshed. Now, that's self-centered, but there's a real place for being together. Our feet are washed, and we're encouraged and build up, turn to the Lord. And I just think there's a real exponential expression of Christ when we are together. Hebrews 10:25. Let's read Hebrews 3, 6, and 7. First. But Christ was faithful as a son over His house, whose house we are. We are the house of God. We are His tabernacle, His expression, whose house we are if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. So we express Christ. Being together, we express Him in a way that's really impossible when we're apart. Hebrews 10:25, a familiar verse. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. My understanding is this context of this verse was the Christians were really being persecuted. And there was a real practical reason not for being together, because they didn't want to be arrested and whatever. But there were those who were not wanting to be together. So we've got all these situations. What is it that's holding us from being together and longing to be together with God's people? Anyway, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So we need to be faithful to assemble. And we declare to the seen, the unseen, we declare to the world, we declare to the heavenlies, to the angels, to the principalities and powers and world rulers, when we're together under the headship of Christ, meeting around Him, holding Him up, we're making a great declaration, a great statement, a powerful statement. It's one of the reasons He called us. Okay, finally, what is the fruit of faithfulness? I believe if we're faithful, we will be greatly satisfied if we are faithful to the Lord and His purpose. We were created before the fall to live like this. We've fallen away, but now we've been restored. We are created to exist in communion, in relationship with Him. And if we create that relationship, the overflow will be expressing faithfulness. And it'll be wanting to be together, relationship with the saints, with our families, and being gathered together unto His name. And what does the Lord's end for those that are faithful. Let's just look at two scriptures. Revelation 17:14. We talk about the end of the age and summing up all things in Christ, His return. What's He say here? These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are the called and chosen and faithful. At the end of the age, I believe He has a place for us. Let's look at another. And this is a verse that really got me these last weeks. And that's Matthew 25:23-24. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." I really can't do much but read that verse again. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." We know that God, in summary, God is totally faithful in His nature, in His character. If we were to express Christ, I believe He's looking for a people to come under His headship and display His character. He values greatly this faithfulness in His people. And will He be able to say to us, put that back up there again. Matthew. "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And a personal note on that as we close with that verse. You were faithful with a few things. I think we get the mentality that we have to be, the bigger our ministry, the more visible. If we could be preacher, I can't be a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a speaker. So I must not be worth very much. We all are given what God has given us to be faithful with what we have. I guess I'm speaking to my one talent brothers and sisters, my co-laborers. Are we faithful with little things? Are we faithful with the little thing God has given us? He's just as interested in being faithful to the little we've been given as to those who've been given much. He's after eternity. He's after eternal training. This pilgrimage we're on is very short, but He's after developing His character in us. And He would call us to be faithful to what we've been given, even what we consider to be little, He considers to be great. So that's it. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We would be consumed. We would be done. But You are great and faithful. Lord, I want to thank You myself for Your faithfulness. My relationship and my life depended on my faithfulness to You, would be a total shipwreck. But we thank You today for Your faithfulness. And we pray, Lord, that You would grant us to be faithful to You, Your people, and Your purpose. In Jesus' name.